Dismiss children after announcements and prayer. It's on the book. Well, good morning, everyone. And it's good to be here on unexpected but short notice, but it's still good to be here. We have a president in our midst, a Ghanaian president. I got a lot of your attention. All of you guys kind of looked up when I said that. But with me today is Yao Purvi, the president of ISMC, the student ministry who I work with. So Yao, you can give us a wave. He has a Sunday off, a rare Sunday off, he said. But it is good to be here. I'm very good friends with Dave Jones, who had, I think, been scheduled to be here. And I love working alongside Dave because sometimes you just don't know what's around the corner. And when you go for coffee with him, he says, "What are you doing on Sunday?" And here I am. But it's good to be here. And as I said, I trust God gave me a passage to share with you this morning. So often in life it's easy to go along without paying too much attention to what's going on. There's so much going on, and yet for something to really grab our attention can take a lot sometimes. You know, for 4.5 years, there's been the war going on in Syria, and it's been on our pages. Maybe from the front page to the second page to the middle of the column. But recently, about 6 weeks ago, the world woke up to what was really going on with the refugee crisis over there in Syria and North Africa. When that one picture, and I think most of us know who it is, of that 3-year-old boy, Kaylin, or Aylin Kadour, that one picture of a boy washed up on shore. And all of a sudden, it seemed the world finally paid attention to what was going on there. We just stopped and we realized, this is what's going on. The crisis was given a name, was given a face. And I think it really hit home here in Canada as the story emerged that they'd been trying to come here and had not yet been able to come across. For my wife and I, this really hit home. We'd been, in August, we had been visiting, both of us have family in England. And so we'd gone over for our holidays this year. And over there in Europe, this is daily front page news. And we began to say, God, what do you want us to do? What should our response be? And at the same time as this image came across, a Christian organization that we're well acquainted with and very supportive of, let us know that they had been working for years in this area with the refugees. And all these things come together, we realize that God was speaking to us to act and to support this mission in what God had called them to do. You know, one thing is I think about some of the things that go on in this world, some of the headlines that can grab our attention. One thing I'm very thankful for is that we believe and serve in a God who is not immune to the suffering of this world. We're looking in Exodus chapter 3 this morning. And Exodus 3, specifically we're going to be looking at the call of Moses, as God called Moses to be his leader for his people. But the context that happens in is Israel has been in slavery for 400 years. And this is what God has to say about the suffering of his people. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 7, it says, "The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them." These three things are a great comfort to us in our world today. That God sees, that God hears, and that God is concerned about the suffering of this world. And that on top of that, he is willing to act. He says, "So I have come down to rescue them. I have come down to rescue them." This, of course, is personified in the greatest rescue is Jesus Christ. Who, when God saw and heard and was concerned for our sinful condition, he came down to rescue us. And that's the God that we believe in as Christians. It's the God that we follow as Christians. And so as I think about how God is and His character, one who sees the misery of the people, hears when people cry out for help, and is concerned about suffering, when I think that that is the God who we believe in and who we follow, it means that I too should not be blind to what's going on in this world. I should listen to what is being the calls for help around me. And I should be concerned for the suffering of this world, both the physical needs and suffering, but also the spiritual needs and suffering. And if I am a Christian who follows the God of the Bible, and we see that this is who He is, a God who sees, hears, and is concerned, I too should be looking, I should be listening, and I should be concerned with what I see in this world. And asking God the question, what would you have me do? And so our passage this morning is Exodus 3. Now I'm just going to read the first four verses. It says, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am." In this passage, Moses receives his call from God. But there's one phrase that just jumped down at me as I read this passage this past week. At Parkrest, we're preparing for a series. At my home church, we're preparing for a series in the new year called Called Out. And we'll be looking at how God called different people out of their lives, out of their situations, to go and serve Him. And of course, Moses is one of those people that we're going to be looking at. And we're going to, as a church, be asking the question, God, what are you calling us to do? What have you called us from, and what are you calling us to do as your people? Both on an individual level, God, what are you calling me to do, and how can I hear your call? And as a church, what are you calling us to do as your light to the world in, for us, it's North Burnaby? And we're asking this question and thinking about how does God call us? And so when I saw the call of Moses, I thought about it. I thought, well, how did God call Moses? Of course, we often say he called him from the burning bush. And that's true. There's the burning bush, the bush that burnt and would not be burnt out. And I think sometimes we wish that we had a burning bush, something that was just so obvious in our lives that we had to say, okay. But you know, I think there's so much and so many ways in which God is trying to speak to us. It's not a lack of God speaking to us in the world. It's a lack, perhaps, of us paying attention in the way that Moses did. And one phrase jumped down at me in verse 4. Moses has seen the bush, and he says, I'm going to go look at it. And it says, when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush. And the one word that jumped out to me was when. You see, God was there. He was in that bush. He had revealed his presence. He was doing something. And yet, the scripture says that it was when the Lord saw that Moses turned aside, then he spoke. You see, God waited for Moses to stop and turn aside before he began to speak from him. It doesn't say that God was calling from a bush and Moses, you know, okay, you want me. God was there and Moses had this choice to make. Am I going to pay attention to this or am I going to be concerned about what's going on in my life? When God saw, when we pay attention to what's going on, God begins to speak to us. When we pay attention to the things that God is concerned for, the things that God is saying to us, God speaks back. God waited until Moses turned before he began speaking to him. You mentioned that international students are close to my heart. And it is true. It's what I do. But, you know, as I think back, it took me a long time to pay attention to what God is doing. I truly believe, you know, down in the core of me that God is at work in a special way, but I'm not going to say a new way, and we've talked about this here, I think, before at Westminster, how God is bringing the world, the nations to us, and we have an opportunity to reach them from our homes, from our churches, and see what God does with them from there. But when I thought about my involvement with international students, I realized that I didn't always pay attention to them. I graduated from UBC back in 2007. And looking back at my time at UBC, I realized that in my program, we are a specialized program within the forestry, and probably 20% or 25% of my program were international students. But I didn't pay them attention. You know, today, our universities, UBC and SFU, are about that number, 20-25% international students. 10 years ago, it was a third of that. And so my program was kind of a hotbed, when I think about it, for international students. But I didn't pay too much attention. I was leading some Bible studies on campus with a Christian ministry. And thinking back on it now, I go, I had international students in my campus ministry. But I didn't pay them too much attention. And more than that, when I think back, I was involved in a campus ministry back then that one of the things we did was take initiative in sharing the gospel. And we would head out on campus. And now when I think back about it, the first person I saw kind of through that direct intentional witness come to Christ was a young man named Yi Sent from mainland China. And yet I didn't really pay attention to it. And in fact, when I think back about it, the ministry I was involved with, almost, I'd say probably a majority of the students we were seeing coming to faith were international students. And so, yeah, had I paid attention when I was a student, our ministry would be 5 years ahead, advanced, here in Vancouver. But, you know, it was when I moved back after being away for a number of years, and I was back up on campus, that I noticed these international students. I'd seen them before. I'd known that, hey, there's a lot of international students before. But I began to pay attention to them. I began to start asking questions about them. Start saying, Lord, what are you doing with these international students? Why have you brought them here? What am I and what is my church to do as a response to this? I think of it in some ways of Jonah chapter 4. In Jonah chapter 4 at the end, Jonah, of course, is upset. And God comes and speaks to him and says, you know, Jonah's upset that this vine has kind of withered and died. He said, and God says to him, why are you concerned about that? When there's the city of Nineveh, a great city, that's what I'm concerned about. That's what God says. I'm concerned about the 120,000 people in this great city of Nineveh. Our concern needs to match God's concern. My concern was changed. As I had returned to Vancouver and begun ministering here, I was more concerned about moving ahead with my life. And yet, as I began to pay attention to what was going on around me, my concern became God's concern. God is concerned for these people. I was rereading that passage in Jonah 4 this morning. And as I read, should I not be concerned with 120,000 people? My mind jumped to the nation of Japan of just over 120 million people. And it says, you don't know their left from right. A year or two ago, God began putting Japan on my heart and the Japanese people, and especially down here at Douglas, that about 100 of them come every year for a year to learn some English. And how God's begun using us to start reaching that nation by reaching the Japanese here. And so when we begin to show concern for the things that God has concern for, He begins speaking out to us. He begins calling us into that thing for which we have taken and started to pay attention. And so as Moses paid attention, when Moses paid attention, then God called to him and said, "Moses, Moses." You know, I have some difficulty reconciling this sometimes when I think of the sovereignty of God. You know, God has already told Abraham, 400 years, your people will be in slavery, and then I'll free them. And so that time was up. And we can look at the life of Moses. And in the life of Moses, how God miraculously spared him and raised him in Pharaoh's palace, then 40 years there, and then 40 years in the wilderness, learning how to live in the wilderness to prepare him to lead his people from Pharaoh's from under Pharaoh through the wilderness to the promised land. And it's all set up perfectly here. And yet, God, as he inspired Moses to write this, put down these words that it was when Moses paid attention, God spoke. That God noticed when the Lord saw that Moses turned. That's when he began to speak. And in our lives, if we are asking the question, God, what do you want me to do? Or if we're wondering what God has for us, I suggest you begin paying attention to the things going on around us. I believe that if you begin to do that, it won't be long until God begins to speak to you from a situation. That he'll speak to you by speaking through his word, connecting it. That you'll have a question unanswered that you'll begin to find an answer to. God will speak to us when we begin paying attention to what he is doing and where he is and begin asking questions. In some of your translations, in verse 3 and 4, it says that when Moses saw, in verse 4, so Moses thought, "I will go over." That's the NIV. And in many other translations, Moses says, "I will turn aside. I will turn aside. I will go over there." Or more literally, he says, "I will turn aside." This phrase of turning aside carries a lot of weight in the Bible. Turning aside. It's a phrase that is used several times throughout Scripture, this phrase of turning aside. Usually it's used in the context of people following God and then turning aside to their own way, following sin. You know, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned each one to our own way. And usually in Scripture, this is the meaning behind this phrase, turning aside. We follow God and then we see something, our own desires, and we turn aside here. And yet, with Moses, we see the opposite. Moses, it says, he was busy about his business. It wasn't even his business. It was his father-in-law's business, which, as a married guy now, I realize more important than your business would be your father-in-law's business. You really don't want to mess that up. But he's busy taking care of the sheep. And yet he turns aside from what he was doing to pay attention to what God was doing. He turned off of his own path and on to God's path. He turned away from what he was focused on and allowed God to give him a new focus in life, a new reason for what he is for living. When we hear God speak, or when we see something, you know, God sees, when we see, are we willing to, at least momentarily, turn aside and pay attention to it? At least momentarily say, I'm putting my other priorities, the things that I have to do, the things I'm involved with, aside for a moment so that I can focus in on this thing. When God speaks to us, whether it's as we're reading his word and some scripture just seems to come alive to us and speak to us. You know, so often I've had this problem where maybe I'm working through a Bible reading plan, you know, X number of chapters a day to get through the Bible or whatever it might be. And something God will speak to me, I think, I'll pause, but I think, well, I'll finish reading and then I'll come back to that. That's not turning aside. That's not really paying attention. Or sometimes we're sitting there and something, whether it's a missionary newsletter or an email or a song, some of the words that we sing that have been written or something we hear from the pulpit and it grabs our attention, do we take time to turn aside and say, I think that's the Lord, or that could be from the Lord. I'm going to investigate. I'm going to figure out what's going on here, what's really going on here. This is what Moses did. He saw this thing. You know, I read so many commentaries. Apparently, bushes just spontaneously igniting wasn't the rarest thing. It was more that this one didn't burn up. And so he saw something that caught his attention, that grabbed his attention, and he said, more important than my day-to-day duties, I'm going to look into this thing and find out what it's about. How often do we do that in our spiritual and Christian lives? When something grabs our attention, say, I'm going to figure this thing out. I'm going to look into it and see if it's of God. I think it's when we do that, that God will begin to speak. That God will really start to more fully and clearly say, this is what this is about. You see, it had nothing to do with the burning bush. It had to do with God's people and needing a leader to deliver them. And yet, Moses was drawn to this one thing and God spoke to him from it. How often are we willing to turn aside in our own lives to pay attention and really pay attention to what God is calling us to do? So often, and here I am working with, I work with young people so often, and they ask this question, well, what does God want me to do? And so often, sometimes I'll sit down with them and talk through some of these things. And usually to an outsider, it becomes apparent that, well, it seems like God is trying to catch your attention over here. Why don't you follow it? And sometimes we need a human voice to lead us and shepherd us along the way. But what I find so often is that usually God is trying to capture their attention, saying, there's something over here for you. But I'm not going to tell you what it is until you start paying attention to it in a little more detail. And the next thing I see from Moses as he listens and pays attention to God is that Moses listened first. He listened first. He came up to the bush and he heard the voice, Moses, Moses. He didn't say, who are you? He had questions, I'm sure. But he didn't say, oh, I want to get my questions answered. You know, that's why he'd come. He'd come to find out what was going on. He didn't say, Moses, Moses, what's going on here? When he heard the Lord speak, his response was, here I am. Okay, you're speaking, I'm listening. This is a model that we find through Scripture as God calls. I can think of the prophet Isaiah or Isaiah. He says the same thing. When the Lord calls out, he says, here I am, send me. Although Moses later on would kind of have a bit of a wrestling match with God. Well, are you sure it's me? He began by listening. And we need to do this. Listen first. Listen first. When I was engaged to my wife and we were in premarital counseling, this is one of the things that I was told to do. Listen first. Listen first. And it's so much more true when it comes to God. How often do we come to the Lord with our own agenda, with what we want to say first? How many of us come to Him and have said these simple words, three words, here I am, and then maybe waited and listened? Instead of saying, here I am, Lord, this is what I'm doing, and how can you help me in it? Here I am. Have we ever spoken these words to the Lord? A man who didn't speak quite these three words, but I think very similar, was Paul, the apostle. When Jesus appeared to him, and he said, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. He didn't reply with, well, this is why I was doing it, or this is why I thought I was doing right. He simply said, well, what shall I do, Lord? Who are you, Lord? What shall I do, Lord? And he listened to him. You see, we need to become better listeners. God is speaking. I am convinced of this in the world. Actually, as David and I, Dave Jones and I had coffee this past week, that fateful Starbucks appointment that led me here. One of the things that we were actually conversing about was just how much opportunity there is for Christian and missionary service. We were talking about his homeland, Chile, and how he said, you know, we need to send the Chinese missionaries down there because there's all these Chinese people down there and not much work going on among them. You know, there's a need there. And then he talked about how one of the assemblies, the churches that he works at, it's in a university town. He says, Steve, I've gone there and there's not much happening on the universities. And we began to talk just about how much there is going on and how much work there is. We need to start paying attention. It's not for lack of opportunity. It's not for lack of God being concerned with the things in this world and calling us into service. You know, we often talk about what's God's will for my life. God's will has been made abundantly clear in Scripture. You know, one of them is his will is that no one would perish. His will is that we would live a holy life. He tells us what his will is. Maybe more specifically, we're going, God, what are you calling me to do? How can I fit into what you are doing? God is calling us. Are we paying attention? Is there something in your life that has grabbed your attention lately? Maybe it's a need of this world. Maybe it's a need of this church. Maybe it's people in your life. And it's grabbed your attention. Begin asking the Lord about that situation. God, what's going on here? Begin investigating like Moses started investigating. What's going on? I want to figure this out. And I believe as we do that, if the Lord is indeed leading us in that direction, He will then begin to speak to us out of that situation. He'll begin to confirm it through His Word, through prayer, through Christian counsel. He'll begin to, and He will continue to lead us down that road. But it takes time. It takes us actually paying attention. This is really hard in our world where there's just so much noise out there, isn't there? There's so much noise. And yet we have to take time to pay attention and hear and look for God's movement, God's action in this world, what God is doing, and listen for His voice in those things. Listen for His calling in those things. There's a lady. She lives about six blocks from here. Her name is Jean. Her story, very briefly, goes a bit like this. She came to a church meeting, a ministry meeting, open-minded. Open to what God would have. You see, she was retired. She had time. She knew God wanted her to do something. And so when she went to a church meeting, she was listening and willing to turn aside to whatever God spoke. How often do we come on a Sunday morning, maybe not too willing to, if we hear something, stop in our tracks like Moses did and turn aside and say, I'm going to look into this before I move on with what I'm doing in my life. It might be at some times that you wrestle through it and then continue on the way that God had been leading you before. But oftentimes I think God, when He grabs our attention, it's because He wants us to focus in, turn aside, turn into that thing, look into it, and listen for what He's calling us to do in that. Fortunately for our ministry, one of my coworkers was speaking at that ministry and said, we have a need for people to cook food, just like what you guys are doing. And so living near Douglas, here at Douglas College, she said, well, can I help? I said, yeah, we have, you know, it's the beginning of the semester. So he said, well, yeah, we're trying to sign people up for once a week, every week through the semester. So she said, well, obviously I can't do every week. Of course not. She goes, so I'll do every second week. I'll cook for you. And here's this one retired lady cooking every second week a meal for the students. Why? Because she was listening. She said, God, what do you want me to do? I have time. I have enough resources for myself. What do you want me to do with the time that you've given me? Well, you can cook. Go ahead and do it. And so as I look at Moses, the one thing that strikes me, as we follow God in our lives, follow His leading, is that simple word, when the Lord saw, when the Lord saw that Moses had turned aside, when the Lord saw that Moses had turned aside, he spoke to him from the bush. I believe God is trying to get our attention in different ways in this world. It might be through some of the things that's going on that as Christians we're called to serve in. It might be through some of the missionary notices you receive here. It might be through the needs you see in the neighborhood, the people in your lives. But when you notice, pay attention. Take time to turn aside and investigate it like Moses did. And I believe it's when we do that that God will speak to us and give us our calling into that situation. I wonder what would happen if Moses had walked by the burning bush. I don't know. We can speculate all day long, but it didn't happen. He responded. He looked in. But I believe because Scripture puts those words in there, that is when the Lord saw that Moses turned aside, we can believe that, you know, he could have. He could have said, I got these sheep. I don't know what's going on there. He could have been more concerned with his day-to-day life than things that were grabbing his attention. We can be more concerned about our day-to-day life than the ways that God is trying to grab our attention in our lives. So when God grabs your attention, turn aside, pay attention, and listen. Say, here I am. And listen for what God's asking you to do. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for Moses, for his obedience in this situation. Lord, we thank you for the obedience of so many people here in this chapel. I know that a church like this could not exist if it was not for men and women for the past 100 years being obedient to, I'm going to be invested in building a church. I'm going to be invested in reaching people with the gospel. I'm going to be invested in raising my family to know you, Lord. And so we thank you for the obedience that is shown here by us being here, Lord. But we also ask and pray that you would continue to lead us, Lord. Show us what's that next step. Where are you leading us from here, Lord? We ask these things in Jesus' name and give thanks for him. Amen.